Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media. You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
It is now 8 minutes after 7 p.m. this evening, it being the 14th of November 2022. Thank you so much for joining us right here on Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. The number is 0734703520. That is 0734703520. For those of you listening to us outside of South Africa, it is +27 73 4703520. And Twitter, our handle is @AWRSID_media. That is @AWRSID_media. That's certainly where you can find us. My name is Thapelo Moloi. And of course, you and I have been best of buddies from 6 p.m. this evening. And I really and truly appreciate your presence and joining us right here on Business Sense. We do this thing every Monday to Thursday. And so thank you so much for joining us and welcome to the family. It is indeed a pleasure to have you on board. And we hope that you shall continue to talk to us and, of course, engage us. Well, it is a Monday today. And as you know, on Mondays, we do this thing called personal finance. And we try and tackle different personal finance topics today. So for today, we're looking at the personal finance for kids, right? The importance of personal finance for kids. Well, children form financial habits as early as 7 to 9 years. That's according to the research that was done by the National Financial Education Council. However, their curiosity about money and how the economy works often starts even before those ages of 7 to 9. Whether or not your child's idea of a fun toy is a cash register or some fake coins, the fact remains that as a parent, it is your job to talk about financial responsibility with your kids. And I think that should sink in quite very strongly. But how young is too young? Well, to talk about budgeting, for instance, or say credit reports, right? When do you start talking to your kids about that? After all, we don't want them to grow without the knowledge of money, or we don't want them to grow up and start hiding money from us as much as we don't want them to steal it from us. So questions about the role of money in our lives can bring a panicked expression to the faces of many parents. Therefore, concepts that seem too complicated, like money, often become very complicated for us to explain them to our kids to ensure that they understand money. So this evening, we are talking about the importance of personal financial literacy for the little ones. So please make sure, if they are not around the table, that you do bring them around the table as we have this particular conversation. As you know, the Bible says, train up a child in a way that he should go, so that when he is old, he will not depart from it. And as a parent, it is often normal to want your kids to do better than you. And so this topic is important for that and many other reasons, of course. Research shows that children have typical questions that they ask about money. Interesting research, by the way. Well, these questions vary from complex questions to simpler questions, of course, depending on their age. So this evening, we are trying to answer those questions that the little ones might have. And if the little ones are here sitting around the table, like I said, and they do have any question, they are more than welcome to send a message to us on 0734703520. Any questions that they might have, we are going to try and address them today. But we are going to have a very, very strong focus this evening on the top 10 questions that children ask about money, depending, of course, on their age. I think that's a revolutionary way of looking at this question when it comes to teaching children about money. Of course, leading us on that particular conversation, I have the pleasure this evening of saying we are not only led by Joy Maleta on this topic, but we are also led by someone who I think will be a leader as well in this particular topic. It is Arabile Malete joining us for this particular one. Good evening, Joy.
Good evening, sir. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, and I would really love for once this evening to also greet Oarabile as well. I hope she's on the line.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, and you?
I'm so excited to have this conversation with you. I'm sure you can hear from the top of my voice, right? I often try and talk very low, but for this one, I'm very, very excited. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it, ne?
Thank you for having me.
Indeed. How was your day at school today?
A little bit good.
A little bit good. Why? What happened? Do you want to share with us or you don't want to share?
Because.
Okay, you know what?
Because I didn't get to finish my homework.
Oh, I see.
I have to finish it at school.
Yeah, no, I see. You know what? There's always tomorrow, ne?
Yes.
Yeah, there's always tomorrow. You'll finish them tomorrow. Okay, before I get to you, let me talk to Mommy. How was your day? Mine was okay. Yeah, mine was a little bit like Oarabile said, just a little bit as well. But you know, we shall get there. And yours?
Let me be the better one. So my day was blessed. I can't complain about anything. Blessed, and it's always a pleasure. And I think I'm very, very excited to be talking about this topic today.
Indeed.
You know, I think it was a good call.
Yeah.
That we get to chat, and I'm hoping that there are tons and tons of little ones listening, you know, as we try and make this topic about money very, very practical.
Yeah.
And hoping that they are listening in with their parents as well, because it is very, it's a critical and fundamental topic that we're talking about.
Yeah.
But really, really, thank you. Thank you for having such conversations.
Yeah. I think they are quite very important, like you said. And sure. I suppose it's a very high level topic that, as adults, we are still grappling with ourselves. And so to cascade it, to our little ones also becomes just a little bit difficult. But this evening, we are trying to change that particular narrative and try and make it easier for parents to have that conversation. But in the process, by having this conversation with someone who's also a little one, I think it just changes the landscape of what we are trying to do here. And so that's why I'm really thankful to the both of you for joining us this evening. And I think we're going to start with Oarabile. And we'll interchange between the two of you in some of the questions as well. But before we ask Oarabile, as she comes onto the line, research also shows that by the age of 9, kids are old enough and self-possessed enough to understand the concept of saving money for items that they need and want. Isn't that just amazing? By the age of 9.
Definitely, and I can attest to that. I think, definitely, I mean, we need to start teaching kids earlier.
Yeah.
And just introducing these topics. I mean, kids have got a powerful brain, and we tend to underestimate how smart they are. And quite frankly, we delay their learning process. And we are the cause for that delay. But they're really smart to really understand these concepts.
Yeah.
As long as we introduce these concepts in a manner that is understandable to them and make it very practical in the home, right? So I can really agree. By 9, I think they are old now.
Yeah, in fact, research also challenges us that by this age, we should not only have set up savings account for them, but we should actually include them in money conversations in the house so that they feel part of the ownership of the money that is in the house. And I'm using the word ownership deliberately here because sometimes we include them just for the sake of including them. Say, you know what, Tapelo or Joy was presenting somewhere and she said we must include them. But when we include them, we should include them at the depth of ownership, not just for them to sit there and witness what's happening, but they should know that mommy and daddy earn this much. This is how much is in the house. This is where it's going. This is the tithe that's going. This is the offering that's going. But this is the one going towards, you were cleaning and washing the dishes the other day. So this is your salary for that. They should own the conversation and own the money that's in the house as well. I think that's amazing.
Yeah, definitely. I can't agree with you more.
Sure. Let's start with Warabile. Is she on the line?
She's on the line. Yes.
She's on the line. Warabile, how are you?
Good, and you?
I'm good. So they say children at your age typically understand where money comes from. So please enlighten us and enlighten the other little ones that are listening right now. Where does money come from?
Well, but you have to work for money.
Okay, that's nice. All right.
You can't just get it for free.
Okay.
How I earn my money is by doing chores.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's very deep. How did you know something so deep?
Because mommy taught me.
Because mommy taught you, right? Okay. Let's whisper between you and I and the little ones that are listening right now. You said you have to work for money, and how you earn your money is through the chores that you do at your home. So what type of chores do you do at home?
Washing dishes.
Oh, okay.
Cleaning my room.
Okay.
And sometimes I take out the garbage.
Oh, and mommy and daddy pay you for that.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I love that. You know what I want us to do, ne? There are some mommies and daddies that are listening right now. Are you saying that they too should consider paying their little ones for washing the dishes?
If they want.
That's a very good answer. Okay, thank you so much. So you're saying money, you have to work for money, right? You have to do chores so that you can be able to get money. So that's where money comes from.
Yes.
Thank you so much, ma'am. Can you give it to your mom then?
I'm here. We both are loudspeaker. Don't worry.
Oh, okay. Fantastic.
You should be able to communicate.
Fantastic.
But I think maybe if I can just add to Arabile's answer.
Yeah.
You know, for me, the question is twofold, right? And depending on the age group, right, of your children, it depends on how you answer the question. And Arabile is only 8 years old.
Yeah.
And so for her, she understands basically when we're talking about where money comes from, we're speaking of either the process of creating the money, right, of money creation, or we can literally talk to the process of how you get money or how you make money, which is exactly what Abida was speaking about, right? That in actual fact, money does not just grow from trees. So kids need to understand that you have to earn money. In other words, there has to be an activity. It's a reactive process, right? The money. So there has to be an action, and then you get the money for it.
Yeah.
So in other words, in most cases, you have to work for the money that you get, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we were speaking about money as we were anticipating, obviously, today's conversation and couldn't wait for it. You know, things like, you know, how other people make their money is they open companies and they start their own businesses and things like that. So various ways, and kids can understand that sometimes money comes from having a great idea, right? That you can monetize that idea. So it's around, you know, how we make the money. And the other part, I said, the process of money creation, where we understand that there's a centralized place.
Yeah.
In all countries where money gets created. So I can't just wake up tomorrow because I know money is made of paper as a kid. Then I can just, you know, take paper and make my own money or, you know, print my own money from my copy machine at home.
Yeah.
I can't do that because they are controlled and for specific reasons, right, why they are controlled in all countries, that money, the process of money creation is centralized, right? And in South Africa, it's centralized by the Reserve Bank, right? The South African Reserve Bank. That's where it's the bank of all banks, basically, right? And that's where the printing of money takes place, so that they can manage how much money is in circulation, how much money is going around, so they know exactly how much money is going around, you know, in the country. So that is, that's why I say, when you ask where does money come from, it's a twofold question, and depending on who you're talking to. So for one kid, they could understand that actually money comes from my parents. And that's, it's age appropriate. You know, for, because that's where they get their money from. I do work, my parents give me money. But the most important concept I think that kids need to grasp from this is that you need to work for it.
You need to work for it.
You need to earn it, basically. That's the most important point, is that for me to be able to get money from wherever, whether it be from my parents or from, you know, I need to work for it.
And I think, just to add on that, I think there's two things here, right? And the first one, it being that already at age nine, firstly, children are already curious about money. And such as parents, we should find a way to cultivate and direct that curiosity, right? So that they understand what you're exactly saying, and what Rebile said as well, that you have to work for money, right? So that's that's the process that you're referring to. And I think there's also a conversation to be had around, you know, how we can teach them businesses, because you do find that with the other communities, right? They teach their children to go to school and sell X and Y and whatever, and then they come back with the money. In the process, they'll make mistakes here and there, but they will then learn exactly what you're saying, that you have to work, you have to earn it and such. When they get to 18 years, 19 years, the process of running a business as a child and now into their adulthood is something that is embedded in them from the very beginning. So I think that's a conversation we should actually have after this particular one, around how do we foster the spirit of entrepreneurship with our little ones, so that in the process they understand the very important part about money. But I wanted to ask you, because I think you've opened up quite something that is very, very important. Why can't we just go to the bank and get money? That's some of the question that most 9-year-olds are asking around money. Why just we go to the bank? Mommy, why can't we just go and take out money from there?
I can ask Oa, but no. Maybe not ask. But essentially, you can. Right? You can go to the bank and ask for more money. But the trick is that when you do that, when you go to the bank and ask for money that you do not have. Right? Because banks keep money that you have and money that you don't have. Right. So if you go to the bank and you ask for money that you do not have, that means you are borrowing, right? Because it's not yours. So you are borrowing. And all I can tell you that borrowing is actually much more costly. Right? It costs you more, because when you pay it back, you have to pay it back how many times? Two times more.
Exactly.
You know you need to pay it.
Yeah.
So you can't just take it back and pay back. You know, you can't borrow 100 rand and then pay back 100 rand. You have to pay it back more, right?
Yeah.
And so just to get the concept, you know, the concept of borrowing and how expensive it is, we just say two times, right? You have to pay, you know, you have to pay two times more than what you took.
Yeah, that's
so
very true.
But essentially, you know, you can't, if you can't borrow from the bank, which we discourage, highly discourage, because it's expensive, the kids need to know that I can't just go to the bank and ask for more money. You know, if I don't have it, I don't have it.
So
the bank only keeps what I have.
That's very true. For those of our listeners joining us, it is 26 minutes after 7 p.m. We are moving quite swiftly on this particular topic, which is financial literacy for children. And we are looking at the top 10 questions that children ask about money at certain age groups. And we are joined not only by Joy Maleta this evening, but we're also joined by Warabile. I think she's handled that particular question very, very brilliantly. And if your child has a question and they would like to ask, it is on 0734703520, 0734703520. Here's another question that apparently 9-year-olds ask about money. How much does something cost? And I think I see this quite a lot. If you are in, for instance, the shops and you are doing shopping with them, mommy, how much is this? You know, and some of these questions, some parents find them annoying. Why are you asking me this? People, you're not buying it. But I'm thinking that if they understand the concept of where money comes from, right? That it comes from you know, working and earning it, when they ask that question, they're probably asking because they know how much they have in their kitty,
yeah,
right? And so they ask, okay, so if this costs 9 rands and I have 10 rands, so that's an opportunity for you as a parent to actually have that conversation again and say, look, my little girl, you've got 10 rands and this thing costs 9 rands. And therefore, if you spend 9 rands, you're only left with 1 rand, right?
Mm, exactly. Exactly. Is it making financial sense for you?
Yeah.
Probably not, you know.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Oa laughs at me quite a lot because when we go to the stores, and, you know, I ask her like all the time, do we, you know, when do we buy stuff? And she'll tell you, you normally buy things on sale, which is a concept that we use, right,
yeah,
most of the time. But it's precisely that. They ask how much does something cost and they want to buy it and things like that. But they need to understand the value of money, right?
Yeah.
And that's where there's an opportunity for us to teach them about the value of money. And to your point, you only have 10 rand. And so you need to prioritize, right? So are you going to buy this one little sweetie for 9 rand? Or are you going to try and wait and buy something bigger? You know, because remember, I mean, in the olden days, we used to sacrifice, right? Remember, we used to have our piggy banks, banka. And that used to be, we were actually saying we are banking our money.
Yes, we were saying we are banking our money.
But in actual fact, the concepts of banking started from there, where you are like, I'm going to sacrifice buying the sweetie or the yogurt today because I want something bigger. You know, I want to buy something bigger, or you know, you had a certain toy in mind that you were saving and putting your money away for.
True.
And so that taught us something, and it's something that I feel like we are probably not necessarily, some of us are not, we've forgotten about those concepts, and we are not necessarily transferring some of those, or you know, skills, although we did not fully understand the concept. And it was always about buying one as opposed to, you know, certain needs and things like that. And it didn't go beyond. But there was always a goal in mind, which is everything that we've been learning about financial literacy, right? It's about a certain goal in mind and me saving towards that goal.
Yeah.
And when I was young, it was already about saving towards a toy. And so when they understand, actually, am I going to sacrifice 9 rand for this little sweetie? Or am I going to wait until I'm able to buy like a certain doll, you know, which costs so much? So maybe I need to, you know, for more 10 rand and I should be able to get, you know, I should be able to take me towards my, or I should be able to meet my goal rather.
Yeah.
So that's the opportunity that we as parents need to have, you know, and discuss with our kids. And also sometimes remember, we once had this conversation and I said, when Oa was growing up, I used to tell her, we're going to the store and we're going to buy bread. And that's bread alone. And we'd go to the stores and we'd buy bread and she'd want other things. And I'd be like, we spoke about this and we said we buy bread alone today and that's all we were buying.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I'd be able, okay, so you can only buy, but only for so much.
Mm.
You know, you kept things and you kept things to like, you only have 10 rand to spend.
Yeah.
And so when they ask about how much, you know, how much is this? It's also another opportunity of saying, okay, this is 15 rand. So it's above the 10 rand that you have.
Yeah.
So in other words, you can't spend more than what you have.
What you have.
Because you don't have the 15 rand, you only have 10 rand.
Mm.
You can't spend more than what you can't spend more than what you have because you don't have it.
Mm.
So it's about also teaching them to say, okay, you need to stick to your budget.
Yeah.
Your budget is 10 rand. So you need to buy something that is either 10 rand or below 10 rand.
Yeah.
And that's it. And you can't be lenient there. And that's the thing that we can't be, because then we forget that we're trying to teach lessons here.
Yes.
And so even if something is 10 rand 99, it's still over budget.
Yeah, yeah.
They only have 10 rand.
Yeah.
And so that's how we, you know, when they ask these questions and when we leave the house and you've got a clear goal in mind that this is what you're going to buy, you only have 2 rand to spend today, make it 2 rand.
Mm.
Don't go beyond that.
Mm.
And use those as teachable moments of saying, okay, are you going to sacrifice that toy for this thing? And they need to make choices because life is about choices as well.
Yeah.
So if they decide to sacrifice, it's fine, but know that you're not going to get that toy at the end of the month because you've sacrificed for the sweet now.
Definitely. Definitely. I wanted us to pay the bills. But before that, apparently the other question that they ask at 9 years is, how much money do we have? And I think this question is interesting because I think in our community, we don't want our kids to ask us how much money we have, right? And so when they ask how much money we have, it's almost like an annoying question. But I think, like you say, like we're saying, if we find a way to teach them, involve them, even in the discussion, not only that, but the ownership of money, when they ask how much money do we have, it's not an annoying question, or at least it shouldn't be, right?
Yeah. It shouldn't be an annoying question, but I'm not sure whether they'll really understand that we have money, but we don't, you know, because that money already has its own purpose and use.
Yes.
So it's really about, for me, I think it would be maybe also just that whole allowance thing of saying, okay, because you do such and such chores, we pay you once a month because that's what we do, right? We transfer money into her bank account like once a month, and then a certain period I'll show her how much she's got in the bank account and how much she's accumulated in the bank account so far, and she tracks that. And sometimes kids forget because they will always want to spend, right? Spending, unfortunately, is just something you always want to do.
Yeah.
And so you always need to, you know, bring them back into line and say, okay, but you're not saving for this, you know, you're not going to spend this, or you're not allowed to swipe here, or you're not allowed to do this there. So for me, it's about then breaking it down into portions and saying, this is how much you have from the money that we have. This is how much your allowance is, and this is how much you have.
Yeah.
So they then understand the limitations, you know, that whatever we have needs to do certain things. It needs to pay for school fees. It needs to make sure their lights are on. It needs to make sure. And so it might be a very difficult conversation to try and break that down for a little mind, you know, and I suppose the conversations mature as they grow as well. But right now for 9-year-olds, I wouldn't think it would be even been, I don't think they would even understand when you mention whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But if you just break it down into chunks and you just limit it to the portion they have access to, and you say, this is what you have, you know, this is the allowance that we've allocated to you, therefore, you know, you just need to be wise about how you want to spend it.
Indeed. We're going to take a 30 seconds break. And after this, we're going to look at some of the questions that 10-year-olds to 12-year-olds ask about money. So please do make sure that you stick around for that. We're paying the bills and then we're back.
AWR.
Remember that you don't want to bring your children into the world while you are not ready to take care of them. And the church actually promotes that before you give birth to children, you must be mentally ready, financially ready, spiritually ready, physically ready.
This and more on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
If you're joining us, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. This is Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. We are tackling a very important topic, which has to do with financial literacy for children. But we're taking an angle that is very, very different, and in the sense that we're tackling some of the questions that children have around financial literacy. And not only do I have Joy Malete at this particular juncture in the discussion, but we also have Uarabile as well to help us with some of these questions. We were looking at some of the top four questions that children who are 9 years typically ask about money and finances. And now we're just trying to look at those that are preteen, that are 10 years to 12 years. Apparently by this time, research shows that the child, obviously in their late elementary school, and most of them are almost certainly at every point and everywhere they hear about things like credit cards at this particular age. Now, of course, before they get some misinformation or bad habits from their peers, it's very important that as parents we teach them constructively and give them more information about the different cards and accounts that people have at that particular stage. So apparently preteens, Joy, you know, they hear about credit cards when they're in the ages of 10 to 12. And so some of the questions that they ask is, why do things cost what they do?
Sure. That's quite an interesting question.
Yeah.
And I just cringe at, you know, credit card.
Yeah.
Because I think just the plastic money, even bank cards, you know, sometimes, and because everything is linked to this plastic card, whether it's your bank, your normal debit card, or it's a credit card, because it's in a similar fashion. Sometimes, you know, kids can't differentiate between a debit or a credit card, right?
Yeah.
And it's really important to be able to differentiate all of that, right?
Yeah.
We said that, you know, a debit card generally is money that you have.
Yeah.
That you put inside a bank, so the bank keeps it for you, and in exchange they give you this plastic card, which we call plastic money, and that's what you're going to use to access your money, right?
Yeah.
You can whatever ATM for that bank, particular bank, and you're able to then access your funds by withdrawing them from the ATM. So that's what you have. But credit cards is the other, you know, the other what we're talking about, where can I go to the bank and ask for money that I don't have? So that's essentially what you're doing, is that you are using money that you do not have. So in anticipation that you will have it in the future.
It's
already not yours because you've already, you know, used it.
Yeah.
And someone else's money. So it's things like that, that they need to be able to differentiate between these two plastics. It's the same plastic, but it's two different plastics, right?
And
the one is for the money that I currently have, and the other is money that I do not have. And so if I see my parents swipe away, they need to be very clear.
Yeah.
In their mind, it needs to be very clear that what I'm using to swipe is the money that we actually have in the bank. Because then they could be, no, just swipe it. You know, there was a phase where we just buy things online.
I
saw people online shopping most.
Yeah.
So my daughter says to her grand, she wants a particular doll. So her grand says, oh, actually, I don't have the money for it right now. I think it was like 2 years ago. And then she's like, no, but you can just order it online.
Ooh.
And so then, you know, that was a teachable moment, because then I realized this whole digital world and this whole, you know, online shopping is a bit confusing, because then she thinks when you shop online, you're just buying things for free.
It's
actually not the case. Is that, you know, there's, my account is linked to, so I'm actually paying for those goods. It's just that I'm not going to a physical store and taking out money to buy for it. So here, I'm using all the, you know, the digital stuff and it's digital banking, and it's everything that is basically not physical cash, but I'm still, it's the same process. So it's about also then getting to understand that, this is what's happening. And it's very important that you also make them touch and feel the money as well.
Yes.
That sometimes give them the physical cash so that they go and they transact with physical cash, you know, that they understand exactly what it is. So it becomes very tricky when dealing with kids and actually trying to differentiate, because if they see you swipe, they're going to think that money does not finish.
Yes.
You know, that money is always there.
Yeah.
So you just swipe away. And they don't know that it gets replenished every month. The replenishment that happens every month, because you've gone to work and you've earned your money, or you've got a business and you've earned your money. So they need to understand that actually at some point the money does finish, but it gets replenished.
Yeah.
You know, but with a credit card, I'm borrowing it from someone and it's revolving. And so I keep owing someone, and it's expensive and it comes at a cost, you know.
Yeah.
And if there's, again, we spoke about the money circulation, and we said why sometimes certain things cost what they cost, and sometimes things might cost a bit more than what they cost before. I don't know if it cost or costed. But basically, they're going to be more expensive than previously. And that's when, you know, we've got just too much. That's the concept of inflation that we're talking about, right? I mean, there's just, you know, too much money in circulation. The government is trying to control things because there's just too much money in circulation. People are spending more. So the shops realize that they can increase their prices and things like that. So you realize that that's how then things and goods start becoming a lot more expensive.
Yeah.
And that's what we call inflation. Right.
So
it's really, they need to understand that we can't have too much money in circulation. So if you're going to swipe credit cards, that means it's just a lot of money that is going around, and therefore, you know, then therefore food can become a lot more expensive, and then life becomes more costly.
You
can't afford it. And so they just need to know that credit cards, for me and for kids, it's a big no-no. No, let's not go there. And I'm hoping that parents will also, you know, tell them some of, you know, because we've been burnt.
Yeah.
Right. By these credit cards. So let's tell them those lessons of us being burnt by those credit cards so they really understand them. They don't fall for the trap. And you know what happens when they start working, Tapelo? Is that most of these kids, because they're really smart, they're going to do well at school and they're going to start working. And financial institutions catch them at a very young
very early age.
As soon as they enter the working environment, they're going to be presenting these credit cards to them. They're going to be presenting debt and all these things. And so they need to, the parents need to take the opportunity now so that they know that a clothing account is credit. You know, if I'm going to get a credit card and I'm buying using money that I don't have, that's all credit. And it costs more than what it would have cost me had I used money, had I waited a bit until I accumulated those funds to buy what I want.
Sure. There's a lot to unpack there, but I think we shall leave that for some other time. Apparently, also between the ages of 10 to 12, those are the preteens, not only do they have the same question about how do banks make money, which is more or less what your 9-year-olds and younger would be asking, and I think we've covered that, but apparently they're also interested at about 10 to 12 years to say, what do and why do some jobs pay more than others? So already at that age, they're thinking, which career is paying more than the others?
Yo, yeah, that's an interesting one, right?
It's
and competition. And, you know, but it's exactly that, because our skills are graded, right? You get unskilled, you know, with more of a casual work. And generally, because our skills are graded, therefore it means that for different grades, you know, you get different earnings, right? And just like when you're at school for grade one, you know, they can only teach you so much. But once you get to grade five, there's a lot more that you get, right? In terms of what you get taught. So if you take that and utilize it and think of it in money terms.
Yeah.
So if maybe your skill is a grade one skill, you don't get more, you know, you don't get a lot than a person who's got like a grade five skill, as an example. So I'm just using, you know, concepts they know and understand. But it's really that, is that, you know, our skills are graded. So you get like your unskilled workers and then you get your semi-skilled workers and then you get your skilled, you know, and then you get like professionals and execs and all these other things. And so the, you know, the more skilled you are, the more money you have. And that's why you find us parents always, you know, trying to make sure that we secure your future by making sure that you are educated, basically, right? That's basically what we are trying to do.
Yeah.
When we take you to school, when we take these kids to school, what we are trying to do is to give them a better opportunity.
Exactly.
And sometimes, as parents, more than what we had, right?
Yeah.
Some of our parents, if you look back, you'll find that, you know, some of our parents were either, you know, fell in that unskilled category, and they are making sure that you are at least, you know, that skilled worker, you know, that professional in the environment. And so they sacrifice so that they can take you to school so that they can give you a better chance tomorrow.
Yeah.
So that's all we're trying to do. We're trying to secure their future by making sure that they get their right education so that they don't fall within that unskilled bracket, because that unskilled bracket unfortunately does not bring much, you know, income if you're going to be working for someone or for whatever reason. But we try and make sure that you become skilled or professional or a business person so that you know, your job can pay a bit more than if you did not have an opportunity of being skilled.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, that's just how it plays out. You know, some jobs are more equal than others.
It's more like Animal Farm.
Yes, some animals are more equal than others.
And I think it's also the same with our generation, right? Because there's certain careers that we are already exposed to, and not exposed to because we understand what those people do. But, you know, you are exposed to them in the sense that your parents will be like, be a lawyer, be a doctor, be this and that. Because those were the careers that were regarded as, this is where there's money. more than it being about loving what you do, passion and all those sort of stuff. Yeah. None of our parents told us about radio. They were like, what are you going to do in radio? Like, you know, go and be a lawyer or something, you know, because radio, for instance, was not seen as a career, for instance, where you could make money. And so a lot of our conversations at our younger age were about which career gives you more money. And it's interesting to actually note that even today, kids also are like, which careers are paying more money, you know, and software development these days is becoming the career, right? Data science is becoming the career, and that's where we are going.
Exactly. And it's about kids understanding and being relevant. And I think nowadays, how I heard this question, as opposed to asking the kid, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah.
Asking them, you know, what problems do they want to solve, or what challenges do they want to solve when they grow up?
Yeah.
Because challenges change, like you're saying. Now we've moved on, you know. Life is like progressing, and now it's become data science. It's become, everything has become, you know, about data and about tech and about, and so we're trying to solve technological problems. And so now you still can't have, you know, and you know, so things are moving, and times are changing, and so they need to remain relevant. And as they grow up, they realize there are a lot more challenges that they want to solve, and so you ask them along those lines, so you don't box your child. You know, and I found that to be quite interesting, you know. And if they still want to help people, they could be doctors and they could be whatever, you know, but it does not necessarily box them to a, but you want to be a doctor, but they need to understand, this is a challenge I'm trying to solve, and therefore I can solve this challenge by either being a doctor or by being, you know, this person or by being that person. Or, and so we need to try and open them up to a lot more other possibilities, as opposed to trying to box them to, you know, you are going to be a doctor or you are going to be a lawyer. We need to allow ourselves, not as parents, we need to transform, right? Because it's also a learning opportunity for us to really understand that times have changed. Maybe being a doctor is not as lucrative as it was back then.
That's,
you know,
very true.
And maybe there are other interesting careers that these kids might thrive in. And so we need to think, you know, I mean, our kids, maybe their careers are still, you know, their jobs are not yet.
Exactly. They're still coming. Today, yeah.
You know, so the jobs that they're going to be, they don't exist today. So it's allowing your kids to be a lot more open-minded around, you know, thinking of, you know, what is it that they want to solve. And because we are, I mean, I think we are, let's think of ourselves as also a progressive people. So in other words, even our mindset needs to be progressive because, again, you know, we need to be moving upwards, you know, mentally, and try and challenge our kids differently and empower them as best as we can.
Sure, that's very important. And I think, like I'm saying, this is another topic we need to quite explore extensively right here on Business Sense. But I want to ask Warabile and bring her back here for this particular conversation as we move into the teenagers, as we close this particular segment as well. You know, research is also showing that teenagers, those aged between 13 and 19, have a set of particular questions that they ask around money and finances and all those sort of stuff. And the more they grow, the more complex the questions become. And I think as parents, it's very important we equip ourselves, even if it's not an in-depth industry knowledge where you become like the leader in personal finance or whatever the case might be, but just the basics, so that when they ask these curious questions at that particular age of 13 to 19, at least you have some sort of understanding or idea or whatever the case might be, or maybe you can even channel them in the right direction. But we are asking Warabile on this one. And like Joy said, she's not even 13, right? But we thought, let's ask her this question because she's already been taught around this particular one. Warabile, how do stocks work, or how do shares work? Maybe let's start. What is a share?
A share is when you buy a portion of a company. For example, buy a Woolworths share.
Oh, wow.
I'm owning a part of Woolworths.
Wait, Warabile, wait. You're not even 13.
Owning.
Like, how do you know Okay. Okay. You know what? That blows my mind. Okay. Let's repeat it a little bit again, just for our little ones so that they know as well. But that's amazing. What is a shawara? Will you say that again?
What is a she? Say what you said. Exactly what you said. What is a she?
A she is when you buy a portion of a company.
Mm-hmm. For example?
For example, if I buy a share of any shop.
Yeah.
Or Woolworths.
Yeah.
I own a portion of it.
Look at you. Like if I was giving you a mark, I'd give you 100 out of 10, you know? Because I think that's a brilliant answer. When you own a portion of Woolworths, that's buying a share. And Joy, I think that's very important because then it instills a sense of ownership. When they walk into Woolworths, they know I own a part of this company.
I actually own a part of this.
Sure. You know, at 9.
Part of it. And it's quite interesting because we also do, I mean, we talk about shares like most of the time. And funny enough, I wasn't ready to teach her about shares, but she kept on asking me, you know, she asked me the question, Kanti, what is a share? Like you guys talk about shares. What is a share? And I had to explain in a way that she's going to understand. But basically, when someone owns a share, it means that they bought, you know, a portion of that company. So in other words, you are interested in how that company performs. You are interested in how, you know, because you want that company to make you money, right? And you want your share to grow in value and things like that. So it's very, very difficult, but the simplest was to actually say you own a piece of that company.
Yeah.
So basically that's what it is, right? Buying a share is owning a piece of that particular company. So it gives them pride, right? They walk into something, they're like, my parents own a portion of this, you know? Even if it's like 0.001%,
exactly.
You own a portion of that company, you know?
Yeah.
And yes, like that you own a share in that company. And so it gives them that peace and that pride and that, and also the responsibility, right?
Yeah.
Of knowing that actually this is how I need to be treating certain things in a certain way. So if I walk to a Woolworths, I can't just be, you know, breaking amateurly. I can't want to sit on the trolley because then that means I'm eroding your value.
Exactly.
So they need to understand it gives them that sense of responsibility, that sense of ownership.
Yeah.
And they start becoming a lot more responsible because they know that this is, you know, towards my future or this, you know, it's done for my future. So they need to have, and once you introduce them to these things, you'll see how they quickly start taking care of those things because they're like, here, we own, Nekaya, we own here, own a piece of this, you know, we own a portion of this. And so it gives them that piece of ownership and they really understand.
Yeah.
And I think it's a simpler way of you know, them understanding these concepts.
Sure.
And they become a lot more curious. Like you say,
yes.
You know, you spark the curiosity by just speaking openly about these things.
Yeah.
Just speak openly in front of them and the kids and just have these conversations. Because then they become very interested and they start asking the questions, what is this? And at this age, I promise you, at 8, they start asking questions. Every word they hear, they ask, what does this mean? You know? And so take that opportunity to engage them when they start asking those questions.
Look, I think we've got a lot to unpack still here, but I think we should end it here. But before we end it here, I just want to get the last words from Warabile and yourself, you know, on this particular topic, because I think it's a very important one that not only deserves a part 2, I think it deserves a part 3, 4, 5, and we unpack this a little bit more.
Yes. Parting thoughts. When you buy things, you buy things when they are. What's the best time to buy?
On sale.
On sale. Okay, so all the kids listening, they had it from Warabile.
That's the best time to buy stuff is to buy stuff when they are on sale.
When they are on sale.
When they are on sale, that's the best time to buy stuff because then you're saving.
Yeah.
But I think for me and the little ones, it's just, you know, and maybe let me speak to the parents here as opposed to the little ones.
Yeah.
We just need to be very patient and try and make it a lot more practical and meet them at their point of need. There's this one, sorry, can I just borrow your book? there's this one, I'm not sure if I can promote books here, but there's this one brilliant book, you know, called Raising Kids with a Financial Fitness Mindset.
Okay.
I'm sure if you check it on Ethnic Kids, you're able to find it. Because it's for ages 6 to 12.
Okay.
Particularly the age group that we were tackling.
Yeah.
And it introduces, you know, money concepts in like the most basic form, you know. That's where we got our bill from, for the chores. That's where we started, you know, the idea of saying, okay, some chores are part of your responsibility, so you don't get paid for them. But some of them, yeah, we can pay you for. We started, you know, putting prices to the, so if I do this, this is how much I'm going to earn, this is how much I'm charging, and things like that. So it's a brilliant book to actually start, and for parents, to start introducing these topics. If you don't know where to start teaching your kids, I would really, really recommend. I'll send you a picture so you can get a poster on your platform. And then, yeah, I'd really, really like to encourage parents to just start engaging and try and challenge their mindset and make it so that we build those financial fitness mindsets for those little ones. But I'm telling you, it's a beautiful journey, and I'm hoping that it does pay off eventually.
Yeah.
We may not see the fruits, but let's hope that we are raising responsible children who will understand and appreciate the value of money and take care of money. Because the biggest thing that we, you know, that we do is that we leave our kids, you know, we've got these policies, these life insurance policies that leave our kids with huge sums of money.
Sheesh.
And yet we fail to educate them about how to take care of that money. And so it's very important that in as much as we want to secure their future, we make sure that they don't get into a position where they just, you know, misuse that money, because they were never really taught about the value of money. So we need to teach them about the value, so that whatever plans we have for them, for when we are no longer there, that we are able, you know, to take care of that money, because they really understand, they appreciate that you've worked hard for that money, and that it's there for them to really take good care of it, and it's there for them, you know. And yeah, so that's just my parting shot for parents.
Thank you so much, ma'am. It has been such a beautiful, beautiful conversation, and I really enjoyed it. And thank you to Uwa as well. I think we're going to feature her more and bring her to the conversation. She must just get ready from now on. She's going to be on radio. But thank you so much to the two of you, and of course your family as well, for affording us this time, especially every Monday, to have these particular conversations. May God bless you and keep you, and of course enlarge your territory as you do this work. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you so much, and have a good one, and thanks to the listeners for listening.
Have a good one as well. That was our sister Joy Malette and Uwa helping us understand financial literacy for children. I actually have no words, and I hope and pray that that particular conversation has been good for you and your little ones as well. And from now on, we'll make the right changes in order to encourage and foster a sense of understanding of financial literacy, but also ownership to our kids as they navigate, and we too navigate this financial and money conversation. But until we meet next time, which is tomorrow between 6 and 8 p.m., may God bless you and keep you. May He cause His countenance to so shine upon you and give you peace. Until we meet next time, goodbye.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.